E-cigarettes and vaping have apparently made smoking cool again, as the latest numbers from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention show tobacco use by young people is on the rise. Nearly 5 million middle and high school students used tobacco products last year, with 1.5 million more of them trying e-cigarettes than in 2017. Brian King, Deputy Director for Research Translation in the CDC's Office on Smoking and Health, is with me to go deeper into the numbers and find out what they mean. Brian, what is going on with e-cigarettes and their marketing that has allowed them to reverse this tobacco use trend?
Yeah, so we know from decades of science that mass media campaigns that educate people about the harms of cigarette smoking have worked. But on balance, we also know that cigarettes, as well as other tobacco products, are increasingly being advertised in a variety of ways that affect youth. And when it comes down to e-cigarettes, which is a new novel product that many kids are using, they're advertised in many of the same ways that we've seen conventional cigarette smoking advertised for many years. And so there's ultimately multiple factors that lead kids to use e-cigarettes, but the bottom line comes down to the advertising will bring a horse to water, the flavors will get them to drink, and the nicotine will keep them coming back for more. And when you have that trifecta of the heavy advertising, the prominent use of very kid-friendly flavors, as well as the very high levels of nicotine, you're going to have a perfect storm when it comes to use of these products. And we also have seen a diversification of the landscape of e-cigarettes. And within the past couple of years, a new type of e-cigarette, a USB flash drive safe e-cigarette, has become very popular among kids. And the most common brand is Juul. And these products can be used very discreetly. They also come in a variety of kid-friendly flavors. And they also have among the highest nicotine concentration of any e-cigarette on the U.S. market. And so that's very concerning to us from a public health community, because we know that this can be very damaging to kids, because we know that nicotine is highly addictive, but it can also harm the developing adolescent brain, which continues to develop into young adulthood.
Well, you mentioned addiction is such an important word in this case. What can be done to keep kids from starting in the first place?
Well, there's a variety of things that can be done by a lot of different people. Of course, at the population level, we know that policies and regulation works. And so the FDA is working to regulate these products to keep them out of the hands of youth. And there's also a variety of states and communities across the country that are implementing common sense measures to prevent kids from getting these products. And that includes things like increasing the age of sale for these products to 21, including e-cigarettes and smoke-free policies, so they're not used in indoor public areas, and also warning the public about the dangers of these products, particularly to kids. But on balance, parents, teachers, health professionals can also play a role in helping kids to learn about the risks of these products and not to use them. So the bottom line, if you're a parent or a teacher, you've got an important role to play to address this public health epidemic facing our nation's youth. First and foremost, you can learn about the different types of e-cigarettes so that you can identify them as well as the risks, and that includes Juul. You can set a good example by being tobacco-free yourself. We know that parents and adults are key influencers for kids. You can also adopt tobacco-free rules in your house and in your vehicle, and that includes e-cigarettes to protect kids from these products. And you can also, and most importantly, talk to your kid or teen about why e-cigarettes are harmful to them, and it's never too late to warn them about the risks of these products, particularly these high levels of nicotine, which we can know can be very detrimental to not only in terms of addiction, but also long-term risks to the developing adolescent brain.
When we think about how fewer adults are using traditional tobacco, it would seem that kids are less likely to at least see their parents and say, well, I learned it by watching you kind of thing. So how influential is it in a household where neither parent is smoking?
Well, though we've made considerable declines in reducing cigarette smoking and conventional tobacco products and denormalizing that at the population level, what we're now seeing is the diversification of the tobacco product landscape. And what we don't want to be doing is playing a game of public health whack-a-mole, where we allow certain products to go up and others to go down. And that's basically what we're seeing with e-cigarettes. And we've made considerable strides in denormalizing cigarette smoking, but there's a lot of people who don't know about the risks of e-cigarettes. And there's a new generation of youth who are using these products who may not have otherwise been warned about them from their parents. So even if parents aren't using the product, it's also likely that there's other influencers, including the students' peers and others, who could be using these products as well. And so when it comes down to it, we know that there's a lot of youth that are using these products across the country. It's fairly ubiquitous. It's in homes, it's in schools, it's in communities, and it's critical that we really take a universal step across the board from a multiple diverse group of people, and that includes parents, teachers, and everyone, so that we're not playing that game of whack-a-mole.
This is a fight that's not going to be an easy one. Do you think people are ready for this fight in the same way they were ultimately with more traditional tobacco?
So the bad news is that we've got an epidemic of e-cigarette use among our nation's youth, but the good news is that we know what works to combat it. And we don't necessarily have to reinvent the wheel here. We just have to grease a squeaky wheel to ensure that our interventions that we have are modernized to reflect the diversity of products that kids are using in this country. And we have a luxury of over a half century of science in public health that tells us what works to effectively prevent kids from getting tobacco products. And the same goes for e-cigarettes. These proven interventions include increasing the age of sale so that kids can't access the product, warning about the risks of the products through mass media campaigns, price increases to prevent them from accessing them, and also including e-cigarettes in comprehensive smoke-free laws so people aren't seeing adults and others use them in indoor areas where they're potentially exposing people to the aerosol. And this, all in coordination with regulation at the federal level, as well as state and local efforts to address these issues, are ultimately critical if we're going to continue our longstanding efforts to reduce all forms of tobacco product use among our nation's youth and to protect them from this completely preventable health risk.
That is Brian King of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Brian, thanks for the time this morning.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.